WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Republicans on the House Ethics Committee voting not to release the report on the investigation into Matt Gaetz, the former congressman accused of sexual misconduct, illicit drug use, and obstruction of government investigations into his conduct. Gaetz resigned his House seat after Donald Trump nominated him to be the next attorney general. After nearly a month without moisture in the Northeast, it is finally raining in parts of New York and New Jersey that have been struggling with wildfires and drought this autumn. This man lives in New York City.
It's about time that it rained. You know, the city needs a wash. You know, the city needs a little bit of moisture. You know, there's been the fires. So I'm really happy that we finally got some rain here in the city.
Too much rain in parts of the Pacific Northwest. A weather pattern known as a bomb cyclone has brought strong winds and lots of rain. It's led to two deaths and more than 350,000 power outages. This is ABC News. Susan Smith, accused of killing her two children 30 years ago, denied her freedom once again. Here's ABC's Victor Okendo.
Susan Smith has been denied parole after tearfully making her case for freedom.
I know that what I did was horrible.
In October 1994, Smith rolled her car into a South Carolina lake while her three-year-old son Michael and 14-month-old Alex were strapped in their car seats. Smith then lying to authorities, saying she'd been carjacked by a black man, pleading for her sons to be returned safely.
I want to say to my babies that your mama loves you so much.
Later confessing to letting her car go into that lake.
Four foreign tourists, including an American teenager, are believed to have died from alcohol tainted with methanol in a resort in Laos. One Australian teenager remains in critical condition on life support. Boston sports fans will have a once-in-a-lifetime chance to bid on priceless Red Sox memorabilia, including four World Series trophies, at an auction starting Saturday. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly obvious he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks get another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Bulls 122-106. Milwaukee is now on four of their last five games. Doc Rivers says they're playing better defense.
We've had the ability to get timely stops and good stops, and we got to keep doing that. We just got to play defense with a sense of urgency for 48 minutes. And because our lack of speed, we have to have better focus, and that's what we're starting to do.
High school football state championship games are underway at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. In Division I, Green Bay's Bayport High School will face off tomorrow against Muskego. NFL, the Packers host the 49ers Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. The 49ers defense led by veteran linebacker Fred Warner, quarterback Jordan Love.
With Fred, it's definitely his athleticism. He does a great job at, like you said, dissecting plays, and he's usually in the right spot, but he's a guy that flies around the field.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. This weekend kicks off the unofficial holiday box office season, and by all accounts, it will not disappoint. Every so often, two huge blockbusters are released at the same time. That includes this weekend with the release of Wicked and Gladiator 2. Wicked tells the story of the two witches from The Wizard of Oz and is based on the smash Broadway musical. The film stars Ariana Grande and is pulling a 92% fresh score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 99% from audiences. Gladiator 2 is Ridley Scott's follow-up to the 2000 film starring Russell Crowe. The film stars Paul Mescal Pascal, Pedro Pascal, Connie Nielsen, and Denzel Washington, whose performance is getting rave reviews from critics. The film is drawing a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, just a few points lower than its predecessor, but with no audience scores available yet. If you can wait just a few days, you can take the kids to see Moana 2. The follow-up to the wildly successful 2016 film opens the day before Thanksgiving and is also reviewing incredibly well at 95%. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be cloudy and windy with light snow changing to light rain this afternoon. Our high today, 43, with wind out of the north gusting to between 30 and 40 today. Tonight, wind decreasing, 32 tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will discuss Trump finally facing justice in 2029. And does the separation of church and state apply to Oklahoma? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, November 21st, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the app, by podcast, or on social media, we appreciate you starting your day right here. And when I say beautiful day to have you here up north, I mean, you know, the requisite quotation marks for this time of year where it's snowing all throughout the eastern half of Wisconsin right now. So please drive with care. It is working its way out. It will change to rain from north to south in most spots. But until then, again, use all due caution, especially given how many of the wee ones are out waiting for a school bus this morning or walking to school as well. I got a question for you. Would you vote for me? Okay, fine. Let me ask this again. Would you vote for me and Greg? Would you do that? There's a way for that to happen. Greg doesn't even know that he's on the ballot.
What?
Here's how this works.
What's happening?
You know that there are... What would you call the alternative newspapers around the area that are kind of like city pages, or up here it's called Volume One, full of arts information and shows and features, things like that. Well, here in the Chippewa Valley, there's one called Volume One, and every year they have a reader survey for the best of the Chippewa Valley.
What?
With about, you know, 9,000 different categories that you can vote for, you know, favorite place to get a pie and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And there is buried in there best radio show.
What?
And so if you were to go to volume1.org, again, volume1.org, and now it's one of those where, again, you can't just willy-nilly go in there. You actually have to create an account. The account is free. And it's not even really an account. You just have to go sign in either through your Google account or your Facebook account. But if you do that, you can then vote for these Best of the Chippewa Valley matters. And if you happen to think this might be the best radio show in the Chippewa Valley, much less anyplace else, I mean, I appreciate Tony's sentiment writing on YouTube just now. Not the best of Wisconsin? Aim higher, Pat. Well, we don't have that yet. We don't have a best of Wisconsin. But he is voting 100% for Pat and Greg. So, Tony, we appreciate that. We've got one vote in the hopper.
So what you're saying is we are part of a award-nominated radio show. So far.
There you go.
We start with that. It's just a great thing to be nominated. Great thing to be invited, everybody.
I was going to do that. You know, it's an honor just to be nominated. And I thought, you know, it wasn't so much a nomination. Like, they put together a list of here's who's all on the radio. And, you know, there are plenty of shows out there that have been out there for a long time. So I'm not going to, you know, overpromise anything, but hey, why wouldn't we toot our own horn? So,
toot. We have something like that here in Milwaukee. I think it's the Shepherd Express Best of, and it's like also just a ton of, and the Laughing Tap is actually nominated for Best Comedy Club. Which is about time because they haven't had us in there for a very long, forever, ever, ever. And but like you can also vote for Best Strip Club.
Well, wait a minute. They have Best Strip Club as well as Best Comedy Club, and all right, Best Club Sandwich. I'm probably more qualified to vote for that. But hey, whatever, whatever works. So well, good luck. So
thank you very much, and good luck to us.
Good luck to us.
May the odds ever be in our favor.
Yay, us. All right, coming up on the program today, we're going to talk to Kia Vakil. Now, I know, it's Thursday. Kia's normally here on Fridays. But if I'd thought ahead of time, I'd have some carousel music playing right now because the post-election vacation carousel is spinning again. Joe Zepecki is off this week. He'll be back next week. No, next week's Thanksgiving, so no, he won't. And then Kia is not available tomorrow because he's starting his break, so we're hearing from him today. And so tomorrow we'll have some other folks that I'll tell you about in a little bit here. So we're going to talk to Kia Vakil, and we're going to talk about the new Congress and whether it can be effective at implementing the whole right-wing Project 2025 agenda, or is it going to get bogged down in intra-party squabbling, courtroom setbacks, maybe an inability to figure out how to pay for everything they want without looking painfully obvious as big deficit diggers? So we'll talk to Kia about that coming up. We'll hear from Congressman Derek Van Orden as well on the House Ethics Committee, the Republicans on there shamefully deciding to protect Matt Gaetz and not release the report about his many sexual improprieties that would disqualify him to be the Attorney General of the United States. And as others have said, I can promise you, if that report fully exonerated him, it would have been released. So much like the Fifth Amendment is not meant to incriminate you by taking it, this isn't exactly the same thing. And withholding that report is probably doing almost as much damage to Matt Gaetz as, letting it go. We're also going to talk about Toxic Tom striking again, because folks up north have had the long-running misfortune to be represented by someone who seemingly can't stop, won't stop until more of the Northwoods is bulldozed, paved over, or dug up. Tom Tiffany, when he was in the state legislature, led the charge to weaken pollution rules for mining. Now he's helping a right-wing industry group come into Oneida County and rewrite their long-term plan for economic development and land conservation so that it's harder for residents to keep their land free from future development, mining, and so forth. So we will talk a bit about that. It's Thursday, so Luke Mathers will be in here as well. Brittany Merlot may or may not be back from her post-election break, so we'll see if we visit with her about an hour from now. Today's history lesson is coming up, and so much more. But at 6:13, let's check temperatures around Wisconsin at the bus stop, and they include here in Chippewa Falls 31 degrees. Wausau's at 32, La Crosse is 32, Amory 31. Rapids 31, Green Bay 34, Madison 29, Waukesha 27, and it's 31 right now at Radio Park in Racine, where we find Mr. Bach. Are you getting the snow there that we're seeing across other swaths of the eastern half of the state?
Very little. It's a dusting.
Yeah, so that's really all we got here because we're west of the storm, the way it's rotating right now. So we got the dusting. And so we have to give the obligatory, oh, that's good tracking snow for gun deer season. Starts this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I live in the suburbs of Kenosha.
Oh, like you don't have deer. Come on. But yeah, probably not as nearly as many hunters as we're going to have around here. Yeah. Where, again, I remind folks, I am extremely pro hunting. It's just that you can't ask me to go along with you. And it's not even that I have any kind of hesitation about, you know, deer being killed and harvested. It's that I can't be quiet.
Tell them the story, Pat. Tell them the story.
About my dad trying a couple of different times to take young Pat out into the woods. And eventually being asked to go back and sit in the pickup truck for the rest of the day because somebody, Dad, what's that? Hey, do you think that's a bear, Dad? What is that? Are we going to get eaten by a bear? What is that?
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I'm the oldest. I've got two sisters.
Are they also as loquacious as you, or are you the one who talks and the other two are just like...
I am, well, they're not shrinking violets by any stretch of the imagination, yeah. But I do more yapping than the two of them combined, yes. and for folks who might have missed it earlier, the exact same story with my dad taking me fishing. Same thing. Was brought right back to the dock. Like, you go, I'm going to continue fishing. You go talk to anybody else that you want to talk to.
Son, you know I love you.
You know I love you, but... We're not hunting and fishing. So for those folks who are, first off, A, good luck. B, be safe. C, if you're taking kids along, cut them a little more slack. Or you know, bring duct tape. I don't know. Whatever it is that you have to do to make the tradition last more than a year or two, you can get this done. All right. Well, for folks who might want to say maybe there's equal time needed for people who said, no, maybe, Pat, you should learn to shut up out there. 855-75-CIVIC is the number. 855-752-4842. Or put some comments in the sections of Facebook and YouTube where you find this fine radio show. Let's see. What's in the Up North News Daily newsletter today? Christina Lurie puts that together. And I had it in front of me just a second ago. Oh, yeah, this one should have stuck with me, Greg, because, again, we're getting into Thanksgiving season. But we're also, Christina has been working during November to highlight different Wisconsin angles to the Guinness Book of World Records. And there is a world record for the fastest time to drink 1 liter of gravy.
A sanctioned Guinness?
yes. For drinking gravy the fastest. So that record was first in Wisconsin, belonging to Stephen Ruppel of Wausau, who back in 2018 set it at 1 minute and 12 seconds. And then he lost the record for a while. And then 4 years ago, he reclaimed the world title, drinking a liter of gravy in 38.22 seconds. And I love the precision, 38.22 seconds. Like, this is the Olympic swimming gold medal match, you know? But he did it, so congratulations.
Good job, you. I mean, yeah. Your doctor must have built a wing on his house because of you.
Trust me, doctors build houses because of poor decisions all the time. Oh, so my goodness. That works out just fine.
Good gravy.
Tony writes, very good. Tony writes, how thick does the gravy have to be? That's a very fair question.
Let me consult my manual.
Yeah. We'll check the specs on these things. Tony also notes that the Volume 1 contest has a category for most luscious radio voice.
Jeez.
But he notes neither Pat nor Greg are an option. Rigged, he says.
Stop the steal.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that
very much. I appreciate you, Tony.
All right. When we come back, we'll unpack some of the news on this Thursday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can catch what we do on the web, upnorthnewswi.com. Get that newsletter. Click subscribe in the top banner. Back in a moment.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Dan. In today's history lesson for one of their landmark albums that was released on this day in history. So it's just all old man radio, apparently, today. More about that coming up. What do the following Wisconsin communities have in common? Edgar, Potosi-Cassville, Grantsburg, Lamira, Stratford, Wrightstown, Racine, Baldwin-Woodville, Waukesha, Green Bay, Rice Lake, Slinger, Bayport, and Muskego. All of those places have schools that are in the state high school football tournament, and that gets going today. And Jimmy Costco will be joining us 1 hour from now to tell us more about the state high school tournament, so stick around for that here on Up North News Radio. Let's check some other sports at 6:22 here. Let's see, we've got the Bucks were in action. Giannis had 41 points as the Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls last night 122-106. Brooke Lopez scored 21. Damian Lillard had 20 points and 10 assists. A.J. Green added 18 more to help the Bucks win for the fourth time in five games following that horrible 2-8 start. The Bucks continue their homestand tomorrow in that NBA Emirates Cup in-season tournament. They're doing the group play right now where they're in a group with four other teams. They've played one of those teams so far. They're going to play the Indiana Pacers tomorrow. This is something that happens like every Tuesday and Friday for the next few weeks before they do the knockout rounds of these things. So Indiana will be on Friday. And then Saturday, just another regular season game against the Charlotte Hornets. I believe the Badger women's volleyball team was in action as well. Yes, they were. Here it is now. The sixth-ranked Badger women's volleyball team playing at home last night needed all five sets but defeated 16th-ranked Minnesota at the Fieldhouse. So the Badgers will head to Lincoln for a rematch with second-ranked Nebraska on Saturday night. That match will begin at 7 p.m. and will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. One other note I wanted to make about the newsletter this morning. Again, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. I talked about drinking gravy. To get to something more traditional here, some more did you know about Thanksgiving. Basically, 50% of all the turkeys sold in the U.S. are consumed on a single day. That would be Thanksgiving. Americans spend about $96 million on stuffing every Thanksgiving. 40% of the sales of Campbell's Cream of Mushroom Soup happen this week, this coming week of Thanksgiving. 40% of all cream of mushroom sales, 80% of the canned jellied cranberry sauce is sold on Thanksgiving week. I'm gonna talk to Christina Lori next week more about this, especially since the rumors that she is not a big Thanksgiving dinner fan. Tony, feeling the same way on YouTube, says that's because turkey is trash. But here's a hot take. Stuffing is great year-round. So there we go. Now we're getting into food wars again for Thanksgiving. I always appreciate that.
You listen here, Tony. I appreciate your support. Turkey's not trash. You just have not had turkey made correctly then, because turkey, when made correctly, is a beautiful thing. And I used to hate turkey.
What is that correct thing? What do you think?
It's just made like half the time turkey ends up being dry. It just ends up being really dry. And you have to pour so much gravy on it, maybe a liter of gravy, callback.
Yeah.
That you're not eating turkey anymore. You're just eating gravy with a solid conduit.
With a chunk. Yes.
Yeah. So like and that all comes down to turkey like choosing. And like you can go to a grocery store and get a good turkey, a fresh turkey, like a Whole Foods, which we used to do. This year we're getting our turkey from a turkey farm in Kenosha, or a ranch in Kenosha, and they're selling them. So it's going to be a farm fresh local turkey. So I'm really looking forward to it this year.
Great. And it's so nice. Luke Mathers chimes in bright and early. Tony is wrong.
Yes.
There you go, Tony.
Thank you.
Everybody's ganging up on you.
Handsome,
already.
Capable, and correct.
Luke Mathers, ladies and gentlemen. And he'll be joining us again at about 7:50 this morning. Over in Washington, the House Ethics Committee, traditionally a bastion of bipartisanship. It's the Ethics Committee. You don't take matters up unless they're serious. You investigate them fully, and if warranted, then you take action. But lately, we've noticed on the House Ethics Committee, kind of like the Audit Committee in the Wisconsin legislature, we've noticed that Republicans are far more likely to play politics now when it comes to protecting some of their own. And that's what we've got now in the House Ethics Committee, as Republicans there voted yesterday against releasing their long-running investigation into former Congressman Matt Gaetz, who is Donald Trump's pick to be nominee for Attorney General of the United States. Gaetz for years has faced allegations of sexual misconduct, sex trafficking, and more. He is trying to secure his embattled nomination to be the nation's top law enforcement officer. But because all it would have taken was one Republican to vote to release the report. And they all held firm. And as a result, the panel will have to meet again December 5th. And then, even then, it may have to go through some kind of a process before Americans can determine if their attorney general is perhaps a criminal, perhaps a sex criminal. Again, keep in mind, we're about to have a convicted felon sworn in as president of the United States. A CNN reporter caught up with Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden. Now, Derek Van Orden and Matt Gaetz, both Republicans, but they do not necessarily get along. So you're going to hear a little bit of balance here from Derek Van Orden when asked whether the Ethics Committee report should either be released by the committee or if the full House should vote to force the report to be made public.
There might be a vote in the House to release that report. Would you vote to release that report?
I think it's very important that everybody has as much knowledge as possible so that they can make an informed decision.
That sounds like yes.
That's a yes. So if the rumors are true about Mr. Gaetz's conduct, then there should be referrals to other agencies. And if they're not true, then there's a whole lot of people that owe him an apology.
I promise you, if apologies were needed because this report exonerated Gaetz fully, it would have been released. So Derek Van Orden does not need to do Matt Gaetz any favors on there. And of course, leave it to Lindsey Graham. Leave it to a white guy from the South to use this terminology, describing the Ethics Committee push as a lynch mob forming against Matt Gaetz. We will have Kia Vakil for a conversation after this. You're up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
So the harvest is done, and now livestock owners are wondering, what do I have for feed? I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. It's not just about volume, it is about quality. That quality could turn into affordable energy for those cows you depend on to milk. Luis Ferraretto is an assistant professor and extension specialist in ruminant biology on the UW-Madison campus, and he's paying close attention especially to all the corn silage that a lot of Wisconsin farms are going to be leaning on.
Corn silage hybrids, they're very unique, right? At the end of the day, we want a good amount of fiber and a good amount of starch, but that's not only the two nutrients that we are looking for. Right. We also have to account for the digestibility of those nutrients. So at the end of the day, whenever we have more starch than fiber, energy value go up because the starch is typically more digestible than fiber. But also we want to make sure that we have good fiber digestibility because this helps cows with intake and consequently the total energy intake. But we also want to pay attention to starch digestibility because the starch digestibility helps boost even further the energy available from starch.
Luis Ferraretto says after the harvest of 2024 and all the weather-related challenges Wisconsin farmers were met with, he advises you consult with your nutritionist just as soon as possible to get a better handle on the quality of the feed you've got.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Barrel cheese was up half a cent yesterday at 173. 40-pound block cheese, quarter cent higher at 172.5, while double A butter dropped 3.25 cents to 255 a pound. December Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's up 23 cents, 1919 a hundredweight. December corn's up 3.5 at 431. January beans down 8 at 991. December wheat's up 2.5 at 552. That's a quick update on where the numbers stand for a Thursday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy and windy with light snow changing to light rain this afternoon. Our high today, 43, with wind out of the north gusting to between 30 and 40 today. Tonight, wind decreasing, 32 tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm still gone, speaking at a convention, so you're going to have special guest host Tom Paulsiewicz behind the mic. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
All right, welcome back. It is 6:34 on this Thursday morning with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil. I know. You're saying, wait, Kia's normally on Friday. Joe Zepecki's on Thursday. But the carousel of post-election vacations is still in full swing, and this would be Mr. Zepecki's week, along with Melissa Baldoff, to take some well-deserved time off post-election. Mr. Vakil here is actually going to start his shortly, so he's available today rather than tomorrow. Tomorrow, we have a special treat, a cornucopia of Courier Newsroom colleagues, so stick around for that. But Kia's here today. That's the important part. Kia, how are you?
Hey, Pat. I am all right. Catching up on some much needed rest and, you know, just gearing up to step back into the new world of politics.
Does this include a trip to your Philly roots?
It does. I will be heading out to Philly for the weekend or for part of the weekend and then stopping over in New York City to see some friends. I'm going to be stepping away from my Los Angeles winter into an East Coast winter for a few days.
Do you get like the full suite of feelings? Like when you first get to Philly, you're like, oh, I miss this place. And then shortly thereafter, it's like, okay, it's time for me to go. And you get to New York and it's like, yeah, I like this place. But then shortly after, it's like, yeah, I got to go. And you get back to LA and you're like, okay, this is home now. Or is it is it some weird mix of all that?
It's a little bit of a mix because I definitely feel, I don't know that I'm ever necessarily like eager to leave Philly or ready. Philly's a lot calmer. New York, I absolutely have that feeling. And I definitely enjoy coming home to LA, but the trek from LAX, which is our airport, to my house can take, you know, upwards of 2 hours if it's in rush hour, which is like the worst way to get home. And really makes you reevaluate your life every time you do it. Why do I live in this place? Is it really worth it? Should I ever fly again? I don't know the answers to those questions, but, you know, I have a lot of friends and family out east that I haven't seen in a while. So I'm being very courageous in dealing with that as I go see them.
Not only those of us of a certain age and above have Neil Diamond lyrics going through our head. LA's fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. Let's jump into it, and let's jump into it with the news that Republicans in Congress are once again going to punt on the farm bill. So by way of background, you have the 2018 farm bill. It lasts for 5 years. It's a big thing. It controls all kinds of programs. It expired in 2023 when Republicans were controlling the House. Then they got nothing done. So like, well, we'll punt it to 2024. Well, now here we are in 2024, and they're going to punt it again for another year. And yet, Kia, this gets to the whole notion of they made all these promises during the campaign, like we're going to cut these things, and they still can't really do anything.
No, because at the crux of, you know, there's a tension at the heart of the Republican agenda and the modern party, which is they, you know, the Trump populist movement, which has swallowed the party whole in a lot of ways, you know, runs on, you know, tax cuts for everyone, runs on tariffs, runs on things to try to reshore jobs and, you know, deport foreign workers and really to try to rebuild, you know, the middle class and kind of undo the deindustrialization and the globalization of the last 40 years. But you can't really put the toothpaste back in the tube. And the problem with that plan is that the donors of the Republican Party and a lot of the electeds who, you know, are successfully cosplaying as Trump types, but really have a different agenda. They want to cut food. They want to cut Medicaid. They want to cut SNAP benefits. They don't support tariffs. They want cheap foreign labor. They, you know, there are these two economic groups at odds in the party. And so they may all run on the same thing, which is populism. But then when it comes to the nitty gritty of legislating and appointing people, we're already seeing that tension start to play out between, you know, Trump and, you know, America First populism and the sort of more traditional conservative agenda, which is actually much more unpopular than Trump's, frankly, because, you know, there's no demographic that wants to see Medicaid cut dramatically or Medicare and Social Security reined in dramatically. And that is what a lot of Republicans want to do.
Yeah. And then now for some, it's a very cynical thing that they know that these cuts aren't going to go through, but that just gives them something else to run on to say, see, they wouldn't let us get it done this time. But if you send me back, we'll by gum, we will cut it next time. Whether it's SNAP benefits that you would find in the Farm Bill or Medicaid, like you just said, you throw the tariffs on top of that. And it leads to the Trump search for a Treasury Secretary. And how do you find somebody that wants what Trump wants on tariffs, but also doesn't give Wall Street a big collective freakout?
Yeah, that's a really difficult needle to thread, because, look, tariffs are, when used strategically, can be effective and smart and a useful tool in the toolbox. When they're just used as a blunt force instrument, a slap a 60% tariff on Chinese goods, a 2,000% tariff on foreign cars from Mexico, that is a little bit, you know, that's going to probably not have the intended effect. And here's the thing is Wall Street hates tariffs. Wall Street, and I'm not suggesting they are right about this, I personally could not give a bleep what Wall Street thinks, but they have a lot of power. They do not like tariffs. They do not like anything that threatens their bottom line or their stock prices. Tariffs will do that, because at least in the short term. And so Trump is famously cares what Wall Street thinks, doesn't want to lower. He famously cares about stock prices, and you can't have both of these. You can't prioritize tariffs and also not have an impact on stock prices. That's just not going to happen. I'm not an economist, but I know enough to know that's extremely unlikely. And so in the jockeying for the Treasury Secretary, we're seeing a lot of contradictory news. We're seeing new candidates. We're seeing a lot of people trying to knife each other for the job. And it's still ongoing. And you're seeing that tension play out there between the more pro-Wall Street crowd, the more pro-tariff crowd, and Trump trying to find someone who will at least say to him that I can do both, even though the reality is you really can't.
No, you can't. And I think when people say, well, wait, aren't they just basically stalling for time? Because, you know, come January 3rd, there will be a new Congress. Republicans will probably control the House as well as the Senate. So with that trifecta plus the Supreme Court, you know, they should be able to do anything they want. Well, then you've got that whole filibuster thing in the Senate, which makes me wonder. And again, I know it's just all speculative at this point, but Trump has really got to be thinking how much he can get done through executive actions that courts will back him up on, and how much Senate Republicans are willing to blow up their cherished filibuster to ram Trump things through. And I think Trump underestimates how much senators from both parties like having that filibuster around as either a useful tool or as a crutch.
Totally. I do not get the sense that the filibuster is going anywhere. I think, you know, they have a trifecta. Like you said, they have the Supreme Court. He'll be able to do executive actions. He can do tariffs without Congress. There is a lot they can do. That said, the House majority is going to be a couple votes. It's going to be pretty much the same as it was the past 2 years, where we saw they couldn't do a damn thing. And, you know, it is, you know, do I think they'll pass a tax cut because of Republicans for corporations primarily? Yeah, they will. Will some of that maybe impact folks, normal folks on the margins? Potentially. Will it also then lead them to cut Medicaid and all these other things to fund it? Almost certainly. But the thing is you are going to have a couple votes you can lose as Republicans only in the House. And there are still swing seat Republicans. And if you force them to take a difficult vote, some of them are going to vote no, not on the tax cut, but on other things. And so they don't have as much of a mandate as I think a lot of the popular media has been depicting. Trump's popular vote win is not particularly large now that all the votes from the West Coast are coming in and being counted after, you know, the process out West just takes longer. And I think he clearly is going to run roughshod over the next 4 years. We're seeing the cabinet secretaries he's appointing really just daring Senate Republicans to say no. I don't know how much they will say no. They've shown very little backbone in the past half decade. But, you know, I don't think we're going to see, you know, I would not be surprised if there's a ton of chaos in the Senate and in the House because this is a party that fundamentally, you know, cannot get things done.
And I think that Democrats will be better prepared than during the first Trump term when, you know, admittedly, there was still kind of a little bit of shock that, you know, this guy is actually the president. And now they've seen what he can do. And the 2017 tax bill that he got passed, you know, they were able to really put some bright, shiny packaging around the cow pie by saying, hey, everybody's going to get a little bit of a tax cut. Well, it turned out to be a very little tax cut compared to the very wealthy. And I don't think they're going to be able to sell that again. I think Democrats and progressives are going to be much more vocal about saying, not only does this guy want to pay for a tax cut by slashing SNAP benefits and Medicaid and everything else, but by the way, it ain't going to be a real tax cut for you. Now, I say all this, but Democratic messaging didn't have a great track record in 2024.
No, and I think, you know, there is going to be, the way I've been thinking about things is Republicans now have full control of the government. They can do, by and large, whatever they want. If they have unanimity in their party, they could pass whatever they want, and they could eliminate the filibuster, do whatever they want. The courts aren't going to stop that. Like, they may do that. They may genuinely do that. I am less certain that they will because, you know, there is still political gravity at work here. You do still have 435 members of the House up for re-election in 2 years. You do still have enough Republican senators who, you know, at least anonymously want to protect the institution. And I think the other key thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, a lot of their agenda is unpopular. And if the moment they start passing cuts to SNAP and Medicaid, the moment they start passing giant corporate tax cuts, you know, people are going to hear about that. They're not going to be thrilled. And importantly, Trump ran on fixing everything. He ran on, oh, I'm going to lower prices of everything. Your rent's going to be affordable. You're going to make more money. Stock market's going to go up. All these things that, you know, essentially he's promising disinflation, which is not going to happen, or deflation, you know, and, you know, a year or two down the road when unfortunately rent remains expensive because it's a structural problem, when food remains expensive because it's a structural problem, when, you know, when your wages aren't going up because we don't have enough union protections, there is going to be a subset of voters who went for Trump and went for Republicans who feel jaded and let down by them, because we know he's not going to fix those things. And the Democrats do have to figure out how to actually offer a compelling message, how to get stuff done to reach those voters, both rhetorically and policy-wise. And so, you know, heading into 2026 and 2028, they're actually offering a strong economic message and not, you know, not just saying, hey, we're better than Trump.
And then we'll close with, you know, internal party work, which in the Democratic Party means the likelihood of a new DNC chair. We mentioned this week that Wisconsin's Ben Wickler might be in the mix for DNC chair. We've seen a couple of names come up already. And so, Kia, to what degree do you think this is going to be kind of an extended wrestling match between those who said the party did too much to appeal to moderates and should have gone to the left, and those who say the party's got to stop being so far left and has got to cater to more in the middle? In other words, how much navel gazing are we about to get into?
I mean, there's so much navel gazing already happening. And look, it always happens after an election defeat. It's not out of the norm. I do think it's going to be interesting to see how the DNC fight goes. You know, Ben Wickler is someone who does have credibility with both the left and the center. He is one of the rare, you know, political party leaders, state party leaders, who has a very, very strong track record. He, you know, if I were running the decision-making process, I don't know how you'd not consider him strongly. And I think what we're going to see is, yeah, we're seeing a lot of, you know, the center punching the left punching the center. And, you know, I don't think it's as simple as one's right and the other's wrong. I think it's, you know, this was an election about the economy and about inflation and about throwing, you know, the people in charge out that happen to be Democrats. There's also a lot of truths about what people on the left are saying and some truths about what people from the center are saying. And so, you know, I don't know that we're going to reach a tidy conclusion because that just never happens in politics. But I do think that the race for the chair will be instructive to, you know, what sort of party we're going to have in the future.
Without a doubt. We'll continue to monitor that. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kia Vakil. Safe travels. Have a great time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Back with more after this. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Deer Hunters Roundup is back on WBZH. Hi, everybody. Join me, Joel Karnick, along with Greg Gunderson and a cast of thousands. It's live and it's local. Tune in starting this Saturday, November 23rd at 6 p.m. live right here on the Buzz of the North. You can call, text, or email with your deer hunting camp info. We're giving away thousands of dollars in prizes, so don't miss it. This is a live show with your calls and stories. The Deer Hunters Roundup, live and local, weeknight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. during the 9-day gun deer season right here on the Buzz of the North.
To all you tool people out there, has Harbor Freight got a deal for you? Big savings every single day this November. Because we know that right now, when the price of everything only seems to go up, you need a place where prices stay low. So shop in-store or online for quality tools you can trust at prices you'll love every day. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Not Jackson Browne. This is the original by Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs. Stay was the number one song this day in 1961. It is also the shortest ever number one single at just a minute 37 seconds.
Wow.
And now again, we're going back into practically old-timey radio. But songs like that, another one I can think of is Snowbird by Ann Murray. You always kept some of those really short songs handy in my early radio days, because you had to hit the network news right at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And you're playing songs all throughout the hour. And we didn't have the computerized, you know, all the toys and gadgets that you youngins have over there, Mr. Bach. You know, you had to use pencil and paper and actual math. And sometimes you're like, wait a minute, didn't we play Stay last hour? Yeah, but we got to hit the network news. So yeah, right. you get to hear it again. Thank God for those short songs. This is today's history lesson for this November 21st. The number one hit this day in 1970 was by the Partridge Family.
And this song isn't even 3 minutes. And it's still, like, way longer.
Yes. Yes, it is. There you go, David Cassidy and the rest of the Partridge Family. In a melancholy coincidence, 47 years later to the day, David Cassidy passed away on this day in 2017 at the age of 67 from liver and kidney failure. And again, was a case study in how for the first however many years afterwards, the guy could not get a job. You know, because of stereotyping and typecasting. And then once you kind of accept that and can poke a little bit of fun at yourself, I remember seeing this with Donny Osmond as well, you know, then you can kind of have that second stage. But it's always a little tough when you've had that rocket ship rise in show business, and then what are you going to do next?
Especially in one specific genre that's so defined by your looks and your accessibility to a certain age group.
Which reminds me, last night I finally went through most of the rest of the Steve Martin documentary.
Yeah.
And I know it's been a while since we talked about it. I'd started it, but I hadn't finished it.
Yeah.
And I took on another big chunk. I mean, it's 3 hours long.
Yes. You know,
between the two parts.
And he too, like when he was done with stand-up, it's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then eventually he becomes this respected, you know, movie star. But there's that little rough period.
Absolutely.
In between.
A lot of these people who go from superstardom, like, I want to try this. They're like, no, you're fine. Just keep making us money.
Keep making the haha. Right. A couple of other examples of folks who were very young stars with birthdays today and who have had to ride the roller coaster. Marlo Thomas is 87 today. Goldie Hawn is 79. We're a long way from Rowan and Martin's Laugh In, aren't
we?
And Icelandic singer Björk is 59. So we could have played a little Björk, but instead we'll play something from another birthday girl. Carly Rae Jepsen is 39 today. People are running for cover right now.
Is this her only hit? I think you referred to it as her one-hit wonder. I'm like, really? I thought she had more.
No, this was pretty much it.
Wow.
I mean, so anyway, Call Me Maybe, kids. This is the day in 1877 when Thomas Edison announced he'd invented the phonograph, a machine that can record and play sound. Do you think when he was hearing this song, he was like, maybe I don't want the phonograph?
Do you think when he invented it, he was like, hey, do I have to execute a piece, an animal to get my point across? Sorry, I really despise Thomas Edison. Sorry.
I completely understand. Let's see. Steely Dan released Gaucho, their seventh studio album, this day in 1980.
I saw a video on this where they were like showing, in your 20s, listening to Steely Dan, like, this is terrible. And in your 40s, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm that guy. I listen to so much Steely Dan now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. When does that Yacht Rock documentary come out? It comes out at the end of the month, I think.
Yeah, and I guess there's some controversy. There's some artist who is like, I can't remember which one, but someone doesn't like the term or whatever. It's like, dude.
Oh, too much.
Shut up. Come on.
Again, you got to be able to laugh at yourself. You don't get to define all the terms of your fame.
Mm-hmm.
Gaucho also included, besides Time Out of Mind, included Hey 19 and Babylon Sisters, which we heard earlier. On this day in 1995, Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day was busted by police for dropping his pants and mooning the audience at a concert in Milwaukee. The fine was $141, and the band skipped Milwaukee a time or two on their tours after that. It is my duty to inform you that the number one song this day in 1981 was by Olivia Newton-John.
This song's so good.
I know. Greg Bach got his leggings on, his headband, doing those aerobics. It was the number one song for 10 weeks in 1981. Yeah. On this day in 1976, the movie Rocky made its premiere in New York. And on this day in 1987, Billy Idol had the number one song with a very unique twist. Here was the song. So here's the interesting twist. This, of course, was a remake of a Tommy James and the Shondells song. When Billy Idol charted with it in 1987, the song that he bumped off the top of the charts was from Tiffany doing I Think We're Alone Now. Another remake from Tommy James and the Shondells. So in a way, he had back-to-back number one hits many years later in 1987.
There you go.
Today is National Rural Health Day, the Great American Smokeout, Gingerbread Cookie Day, World Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Day, and World Television Day. No, keep that TV off, keep that radio on. We'll cover much more in the second hour of Up North News straight ahead, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, all things sports with Paul Noonan, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Don't Miss It.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, yeah, lean left, great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And